And this morning I've been given the class here for instruct and train. Instruct and train. And so this is going to talk a lot about our children, bringing them up and helping them to serve the Lord. And let's go ahead and go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And so we want to understand that we're given this instruction as fathers. We're to do this. We're not to exasperate our children. And so we've got to help them understand what's expected of them so that way they can carry out those instructions that we give them. We can't just expect them to know what to do before we've ever taught them. And that's why we have to instruct them and teach them and then help them and train them. And so we're training them the way we want them to respond to our discipline and respond ultimately to God as they get older. But how they respond to us in the home will a lot of times be how they respond to God in the future. And so if they've never learned to accept instruction, they never learned to be disciplined, they're going to have a hard time when it comes to God's discipline and how God wants to train them and use them. And so we have a big responsibility for sure in the home. And as fathers are given this instruction, of course, they are the ones that are making sure this is happening. But the wives have a big role to play in helping the fathers in training their children. Because a lot of times the fathers are out and about. Maybe they're at work or doing other things. And when they're at work, the children are going to be, especially when they're young children, are probably going to be with their mother at home. And so parents, it's very important that husband and wife make sure they have a plan of how they're going to train their children and how they're going to discipline their children. That way, one parent, they get away with everything with that parent, and then the other parent's very strict. That's going to confuse the child and end up causing the child to think, well, mom's not very strict, dad's very strict, and then they could end up and resent dad and think they can get away with everything with mom. So both parents have a big role to play in training, instructing, and training their children. But the fathers, we have that responsibility to make sure it's happening and make sure we outline how we want to have it happen. Sometimes we might have to get with our wife and say, okay, you know, we're going to have to shore this up a little bit. This isn't quite the way I want it to happen with as far as if we're allowing things to slide. And so we don't want to be too lenient, and we don't want to be so strict that the child doesn't understand why we're doing what we're doing. Let's go ahead and go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, but we definitely don't want to go by the world's way of training, because I don't know if they really believe in training much. They just believe in trying to allow the children to do whatever they want. And then, of course, I think sometimes the reason why child abuse happens is because the child, the parents get exasperated, and then they almost like resort to child abuse because they don't know what to do next. And so, but if there's order, there's training, there's instruction, this will help the children and the whole home function properly and really help them grow up to serve the Lord, Lord willing. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting in verse 4. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." And so one of the key things to our home is found in verse 4, and that's us making sure we love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because one of the things the children are going to pick up on, even if you have the best instruction, if you aren't living it and you don't really love the Lord with everything you have, the kids are going to pick up on it. Kids are great at picking out flaws and seeing those flaws, and even, unfortunately, we don't like this part, following our example of our bad example whenever we don't even recognize it. We don't even realize that they're picking up on things. They are. And so that's why we've got to be true to God and make sure we're not playing games. Because if we're playing games and we're just playing church, the kids are going to be able to see that. And they'll end up, and we'll wonder, well, why don't the kids want to serve God? Why don't they want to go into being servants of the Lord? Well, a lot of it can go back to the home. And that is, if the parents didn't really love the Lord with everything they had, and the parents were maybe they were really upset with God, even. And they talked about it. Maybe they were even upset that God wasn't blessing them enough with financial gain. And so they talked about, they maybe didn't say, well, God's never blessing us. They just always are talking about how poor we are. Well, the children are picking up on things that, okay, mom and dad think we're poor. Well, I'll fix that. As I get older, I'm going to do things different than mom and dad. And they can end up and decide, I don't want to put myself into serving God as much. So as we serve God, we've got to remember the children are going to know if it's really true to us or not. And if we're always upset and disgruntled, even about the church, the kids are going to be upset and disgruntled about the church. And that goes back to us right here in verse 4. That's why that's a key verse. But then these commandments, they're not just to be at church that we talk about them. And then through the week, we talk about sports, we talk about the news, we talk about the weather, we talk about hunting. Not that those are wrong to talk about. But if the conversations are only about those things, what is important to you and what you talk about and what you do, you're actually training your children, sometimes when you don't even realize you're training them. And so you've got to be true to the fact that these commands, you love them and you want to talk about them. You're okay with having discussions about things that are going wrong in society and things. And then also make sure we are willing to instruct them in the things of God. That is a key thing in bringing up our children correctly. We've got to instruct them. They've got to know the things that God teaches. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 4, starting in verse number 8. Deuteronomy 4, starting in verse number 8. And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I am setting before you today? Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb when he said to me, "Assemble the people before me to hear my words, so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land and may teach them to their children." And so teach them to their children and to their children after them. So there's a lot of people here today that are already grandparents and already have children and their children. And so we have a responsibility even to instruct and train our grandchildren and help them learn the things of God too. Now, we don't have as big a responsibility necessarily, but we still have to be carrying out the Lord's instructions and making sure we back up mom and dad too when mom and dad are striving to do the right thing. Don't, oh yeah, your parents, you know, they're not quite right in this, and end up and confuse the child. So instruct, teach these things, even to the children after them. Teach the commands. Instruct the commands. Teach them. Let's go to John chapter 14 and verse 21. John chapter 14 and verse 21. We got to help our children understand the commands of God and that there are commands. John chapter 14 and verse 21. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and will show myself to them. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. And so we want to understand the commands ourselves and then be teaching them to our children. One of the things we understand, of course, hopefully, is that there are direct commands. We have direct commands in the New Testament. We have direct commands that we need to teach them. Let's look at one. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. It says, in the past, God overlooked such ignorance, But now he commands all people everywhere to repent. So God overlooked ignorance in the past as far as letting the nations go their own ways, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. God commands us to repent. Verse 31, for he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. So that's a command, is repentance. One of the things we will teach our children is repentance. As we instruct and train them, we're teaching them a direct command of God, and that is, as they make a mistake or something, we correct them. We even have to administer discipline. Then we help them learn that it's okay. They can, and then as they get older, maybe we pray with them on an issue, make sure they understand that this is okay with before God and with us as well as parents. We're not against the child because they made this mistake, and we're just going, we're out now to resent them because they, you know, obviously kids are going to make mistakes. We all made mistakes, didn't we, growing up? I don't think there's probably anybody that thinks, oh, I was a perfect child. I never did anything wrong. I was always just the perfect child. My parents never had to discipline me, and if they did discipline me, they shouldn't have disciplined me. And you know what? That's a bad thing. Sometimes as parents, if we were brought up in the church and we had good parents that were striving to do it right, sometimes parents, as they have children, after they've even had good parents that have been disciplining them, they can end up, if they have any type of rebellion and resentment, they can say, I'm not going to discipline my child the way my parents disciplined me. And then they decide, hey, you know what? I'm just going to try it like society says. I'm not going to carry out God's instruction to me to discipline my children. I'll just experiment with my child. Don't experiment with your child. We know what works according to God's word. We know what works with us, too. That obviously, we can shore up things that maybe we see that, okay, I could have done this better, but we don't want to ever resent the fact that if we were brought up in the Lord's church, I don't like those instructions. Be thankful that we were brought up in the Lord's church. Be thankful that we had parents that administered discipline to us, and then strive to do it the God's way to help our children grow up to serve him as well. So we have these direct commands, and then, of course, we have the principle commands. That's just what I've called them, because principles are still commands, aren't they? A lot of times people think a principle, it's almost like just a nice saying. It isn't. A principle has to be applied, and we have to apply it. You can't just say it was a nice principle. I like it, but I don't have to do it. We have to do it. And there's a lot of principle commands in the New Testament. If you think about it, a lot of things are given in principle form in the New Testament. And so even loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, that has to be applied. And we have to carry out that instruction. It's a command, but it has to be, we have to strive in it and realize we have to grow in that. Let's look at something in Romans chapter 13, and it has a direct command, but also then that principle we'll see. Romans chapter 13 and 14 says, let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh, or make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Make no provision for the flesh is a principle, but it's a command that we do it, isn't it? We can't say, well, it's just a nice thing. Yeah, okay, I'll not think about how to gratify the desires of sinful nature. That sounds great, but I don't do it in any form. We have to carry that out. And then as we instruct our children, we start training them in this. We instruct them that this is what God wants. He wants them to understand this. Obviously, it's going to be for older children in your home as they get older, but then you're going to help them understand that we don't make provision for the flesh, and that's something that God has commanded us in. And then that kind of comes into this, and that's we teach the why of the command. Why are we to do the things God says? Well, the first and foremost is because God says. That's why we do it. God said it. There's a song, God said it, I believe it. That's good enough for me. But a lot of times people think, well, I have to sit here and reason with my child. I have to explain to them what happens if you run out in the road, that you're going to be hurt and you're going to get up in the hospital. And no, you just tell them. You just tell them, you don't go in the road. Well, why? Because I said. A lot of times people don't like that, do they? The new age parent is, you can't say just because I said so. That doesn't work anymore. You have to give them all these reasons why. No, you have to start out explaining it. They have to start learning this. And then as they get older, they're going to start understanding even. But you have to teach the why eventually. But first and foremost, God said, let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, we'll look back up a little bit before verse 4. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. So children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's what God says. God said it. So we've got to help our children understand that. We teach them that, and then we can even start teaching them that God is watching. God wants you to be obedient. And so a child has to learn early that they do what mom and dad says because mom and dad are authority. They are the authority in the home. As they get older, they can understand more of the why, and they can be taught it. But we've got to teach the why and help them understand it. But then one of the key things in parenting is don't waver. Don't waver. This is key, especially as your children get older. As you have set forth commands and as you've taught them these principles and things, don't waver, because so many parents back down from their convictions that they have through the Word of God. And this is a sad thing that a lot of people end up and do. They say, even to their children, as their children get older and their children maybe start questioning things, like, well, why can't we drink? Well, just because the church says we can't. That's a bad reasoning, isn't it? And then people will say, well, my child wants to go do something that they shouldn't, that I have always believed is wrong. I never believed that. I don't believe it now because my child wants to do it. That is not correct. You don't waver according to what God's Word says. If God said it, you've reasoned out through the Word of God, stick to it. Because children need unwavering parents. If you waver and wiffle waffle and you all over the place, it's going to totally confuse your child. That is actually exasperating your child. And so you've got to stand firm in what you've been taught. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and 11. And children will put us to the test as to whether we really believe what we believe. Because they're going to try to push the boundaries. And so, just like sometimes we do, we sometimes push the boundaries. But we've got to understand that boundaries are there for our safety, and they're there for our help. I think probably we'd all agree that our society, turning to this philosophical approach of parenting, and that you don't say no to your child, you don't discipline your child, you don't do anything, you don't set any boundaries for your child, and that's the best form of parenting, is flawed. If you don't believe it, just go ask anybody that works in the school districts around, and they'll tell you, these children are hard, especially the ones that haven't been disciplined at home, because they don't respect the teachers, they don't respect authority, they don't respect anything, because they've been taught that they are the authority. They talk back to mom and dad, they tell mom and dad what to do, and then they go out into society, and that's what they do. And that's what they even do is when children get more rebellious enough, they will actually test their push the boundaries with the police. The police says, don't stop, what do some children, young people do? They take off running. I'm going to run away from the police. Why is that? Because they haven't been taught that authority is to be respected. Even if you don't agree, or even if they're stopping you incorrectly, you don't just jump out of your vehicle and take off running. Even if they pulled you over for the wrong thing, for the wrong reason, for whatever, you're totally in the right. You have a better chance of explaining it to them there than you do of jumping out of your vehicle and taking off running. But see, that's the problem with society. They haven't stood firm in our society, of course, stood firm in the things that were right with what they had understood from God's word. But they're throwing out everything, of course. We, as God's people, we don't throw out what God says. We stand firm in it because we want to help our children make it to heaven. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and 11, it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." We have to understand the devil's scheming against our homes. He is trying to ruin our homes. He's trying to ruin our children. If you don't believe that, I mean, just look at, think about these children that they're trying to get to change from a boy to a girl and a girl to a boy. That is sickening that our society would be pushing this and trying to think that an 8-year-old child can decide that and that their parents can't tell them no. And you're a bad parent if you say, no, you are a boy. No, you are a girl. If they're a girl, they're a girl. They're a boy, they're a boy. But see, society says, no, you have no authority. The state has all the authority. They have the right to tell us what's right and wrong, but we don't. No, we've got to tell them. If they come along and start teaching this stuff and trying to push it, you've got to stand firm. You can't waver and wiffle-waffle on this. You might say, well, that would never happen to my child. It could happen. Because if your child, if they're around other kids and they see them doing it, they start hearing about it, they're on social media, they have a phone, they have all this, watch out. And I would say, be very careful with your children with phones. I mean, be very cautious. I know now, I mean, a child at probably five-year-old has to have a phone. Kindergartners, first graders, you know, gotta have my phone. No, they don't. We all grew up without phones just fine, didn't we? How many of us had a phone going to school? Maybe when you're in high school, possibly, if you're a young enough adult. But we all grew up without them. We did just fine. But sometimes our children think, I've got to have it. It's a must. But then they get in all kinds of trouble. So you've really got to be on guard with those phones and with social media and all these things. And I don't have time to go into stories that I've heard and people doing crazy things because they've been pressured and they go out here and do it through those phones and things. And so the devil, he's scheming and he's trying to destroy the home and, of course, trying to destroy the church, trying to destroy society. He wants your children. And don't ever forget that. The devil's out to get your children. Now, some people, unfortunately, think, okay, the solution, if you're a young adult and you don't have children yet, some people think the solution to not having bad children and everything is, guess what? Don't have any children. But as long as, you know, we're not in heavy persecution and things like that, you know, we should still want to have children because the children are the future of the church. It's very hard to bring in people from the world. I mean, we want to keep striving and keep doing our best, but we have a great opportunity right in our homes if we have children and bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And so it is scary. It is a huge responsibility. But we don't run away from responsibilities. We step up. We understand that God made men for a reason. He made women for a reason. He made homes for a reason. We can have children. We can bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. If God blesses us with children, of course. But be thankful for them. And then understand that they're a blessing from God and treat them the way God wants you to treat them, through training and instruction. And then verse 14, stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist with the breastplate of righteousness in place. So the belt of truth buckled around your waist. All of them, of course, are very important, very good. But that belt of truth doesn't change. Truth does not change. People change and try to change the truth, but the truth doesn't. Jesus said, then you'll know the truth and truth will set you free. The truth is the truth. It won't change. Don't waver on it. Don't start questioning, well, maybe these other religions are right. Okay, Johnny, if you want to go to this Bible camp, I know it's not really that great. I know it's not the Lord's church, but go ahead, I'll send you to it. Let's see. Let's hope he can make it through a Presbyterian camp. Let's see if he can make it through a Methodist camp. Let's see if he can make it through these things. We'll hope for the best. No, we've got to understand, you don't waver. The belt of truth, if that's wrong, it's wrong. And we can help them. And other things as well, as they would maybe start questioning. We don't waver according to God's word. That'll ruin our child. So we have to be strong and steadfast. Remember Deuteronomy 21, 18 to 21. We won't take time to look at it, but back in the Old Testament, of course, the son just wouldn't respond. Eventually, got stubborn, rebellious. This was an older child. profligate and a drunkard, they had to stone the child in the Old Testament to purge the evil, to, I believe, probably a lot, so that way that child didn't go out and influence all the other young people to rebel against their parents. And then train. We have to train. We instruct, and then we train, and so we have to go over things. Proverbs 22:6, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. So train them. And training takes discipline, and it takes going over things and review and instruction, and you keep training. You never stop training your children. And you train them correctly, and they will be a joy and a help to you. They won't be a pain in the neck as they are sometimes when they're 2 or 3 or 4. But actually, if you train your child at a young age, when they're 2 and 3 and 4, they can be a great joy to you. If you let them, the longer you wait to start disciplining your child, the harder it will be down the road. So some people wait, you know, their child's throwing that arching back, screaming and yelling their head off. Oh, I just can't do anything about it. Yes, you can. You know, one time I saw this thing on a tiger. And a tiger mom, she was out here, and she had 3 cubs. And her cubs were wanting to run off. You know what she did to one of them? She went, grabbed one by the hind leg and picked him up and took off with him. You know, a lot of people think child abuse, tiger abuse. You don't do that to your cub. Why did she do that? Because she wanted that cub to understand the male tiger was out running around. And that male tiger could eat that younger, those young cubs. She was protecting her child. Even though people look on and be like, oh, that's so terrible, that's so horrible. That's abuse. That wasn't abuse, that was training. She was helping, and of course that cub must have been ornery because he wasn't listening, so she had to administer some discipline and pick him up by the hand. Like, I don't know, tiger and everything, it might be wrong, but I understood one thing. She was trying to do something, that tiger, to help him down the road. So you train, you have to help them, you have to show them how to do it. You have to show a child how to do something. I know for me, whenever I'm on the job, it's really frustrating if a boss, if they don't actually show you how to do it. And I've had a lot of good bosses. But if they don't show me, and then they're not patient with me, I might not be able to pick it up super fast. Like when I worked at the paint store and ever we were mixing paint, I might not be able to learn how to run that paint thing that was shooting the paint into the can. And so they had to show me, and then they had to be patient enough if I made a mistake to, you know, correct me and help me learn better. But they had to show me how to do it. I wasn't used to be able to walk in there and, okay, I'll just show you guys how to do it. They had to show me. So we show them how to do it. And Jesus showed us this with even like with our praying and things. He showed us how to pray. Matthew 6:9-13. And then we show them too on how to make church a priority in their life and put the Lord first. Hebrews 10:24-25. We need to be consistent in our training with our children that every church service is important to us. Every church service. Sometimes today people say, well, as long as you make it to Sunday morning, that's it. We're to make it to every service. Every service is for our good and for our help. If we don't make it to every service and our children pick up on that, I don't know if they're going to probably, how do we expect them to want to go to every service when we don't even want to go to every service? See, you train them. That's why loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so you show them by, okay, we're going to be consistent. We're going to be there every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, and we're not going to bellyache about it. You bellyache about church, your kids are going to pick up on it. That's kind of what I was mentioning before. Your kids, you're training so much, and when you're not even trying to train them. You train them with your attitude. You train them with how you do things. You train them continually. If you moan and groan when you take out the trash at your wife, and then you say, hey, son, go take out the trash, and you were moaning and groaning whenever your wife asked you nicely to take out the trash, you might say, well, I'm a man of the house. Nobody tells me what to do. I'm not taking out the trash. Guess what can happen? Your child, then when you tell them, they're going to probably do the same thing to you. And then you sit there and say, I don't understand why my child won't take out the trash. Why they won't clean their bedroom. Why they won't do this. Why they talk back to me. Because you are training them. Whenever you have a hard job to do, if you moan and groan about it, you're just training your child to moan and groan about it. I've had a real great privilege of being able to have my children where I'm able to work with them quite a bit as they were young, coming through their younger years with some of the jobs I've had, like the trader's route that I do. The children have gone with me on that. since Dayana was, probably 5 or 6, whenever we moved back here to Cheyenne. She started going with us. And you know what? You can really train your children how to be a hard worker by you being a hard worker. If you want your kids to be hard workers, make sure you're a hard worker. But make sure you do things with them so they see how to work hard. And make sure you're not trying to just take all the easy jobs. Make them do all the work, and you don't even jump out to help. Okay, get 6 bundles, Dayana, and load up that stand. Yeah, I'm not going to get out. I'm not going to help you. You can do it, or Dustin, or Darren, or even Donica. We don't do that. We help them. We train them to be hard workers. Why do we want them to be a hard worker? Because that way they can be a hard worker for the Lord, and also so they can be a good worker in society. That actually is going to be a great example to other people. You being a hard worker sets a great example to other people. There's so much in how we do things. Go over it after you've shown them. Go over it in 2 Peter 3:1. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. Why did Peter write a second letter? He already wrote the first one. Why would they need a second one? Because he said, I've written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. We have to be reminded, don't we? Our children have to be reminded as we train them and help them. You can't just expect them to pick up automatically. If they are rebellious and defiant, you told them to do something and they didn't do it, you've got to not only remind them, but they might have to have a more than a reminder. They might have to have the friendly reminder on the backside. That way they know, okay, Mom and Dad, they meant for me to do this. I've got to make sure I don't forget. And so you go over it and you help them. And then examples. We've got to be that good example. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. We need to follow the good examples in the Bible, the good examples around us, and then we need to be a good example to our children and other Christians as well. Those who live godly, we can see them in the Scriptures, Hebrews 11, 1 and 2, and all down through Hebrews chapter 11. And also those that live ungodly, like Hebrews 12, 16. See that no one is sexually immoral, is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. And so, godless like Esau, many examples in the Old Testament. And discipline. So we train, we instruct, we train, and we discipline. Discipline is so important in training and instruction of the Lord. Why? Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11. Quickly. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. A lot of people say, the Proverbs, we can't use the Proverbs. Yes, we can. We must use the Proverbs. Because the Proverbs are given to us for our instruction. So we walk in wisdom. We are to walk in wisdom as Christians. And so there's much good there in disciplining. Correct our children. In discipline, you correct them. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. We don't want our children to be stupid. Proverbs 12:1. So we have to have them accept it. Bad behavior. We correct our children. Bad behavior, but not just bad behavior, bad attitudes. Bad attitudes. You got to correct your bad attitudes that your kids have. They storm off, they huff and puff when they are supposed to do something. Correct that. Correct that. Don't let them get away with it. Bad attitudes. They'll grow up having bad attitudes. And spank them. Don't spare the rod. Proverbs 13:24, he who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. Don't listen to the experts, unless it's an expert in the Lord's church that's brought up children and done their best in it. Of course, there's no perfect parent. I'm not perfect parent, for sure. But don't spare the rod. Don't listen to the experts. They are wrong because they are arguing with who? They are arguing with God. So Proverbs 22:15 says, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. And I'm talking about spanking them correctly. It's not hitting them all over the head with a paddle, switch, belt, it's on the backside. Just like if we did it. But if we didn't, go to someone that has it. Ask it and get instruction for you. And rebuke them as well. And then one other thing is spend time with your children doing things that are fun and interesting. But as you do that, you're training them too how to respond in things. And so just really make sure you love your children and understand we have to bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And there's a lot as you go into it. But make sure we stick to God's word with our training and instruction. I appreciate your good attention and hope some of these thoughts will have blessed you. And I'll turn over to the next teacher.